When you need expert help and advice on issues affecting your business, NFU Cymru, we're here for you.
Farmers Guardian is proud to work alongside the Rock and Roll Farming Podcast. For all the latest news and features from across the ag industry, head to fginsight.com. You'll also find a wide variety of advice pieces to help you and your farming business flourish.
Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming. Rock and Roll Farming is proud to be part of the Farm and Rural Ag Network. For more great agriculture-related podcasts and vlogs, please visit farmruralag.com. Hey everybody, and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming episode 102. And tonight I am heading down to Liscard in beautiful Cornwall to talk to the Chief Executive of Leaf Linking Environment and Farming, Caroline Drummond. Caroline, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Will. Hello.
Hi, and we were both at the Oxford Farming Conference last week, but we missed each other, unfortunately. Did you have a good few days?
Oh, yes. It's such a great start to the beginning of the year. Always love it. Had the opportunity to go to both of the conferences, and what a start for the year, yes.
Good, good. And I've interviewed some very high-profile people on the podcast, but I've never interviewed anyone with such an impressive array of letters after their name as you have. Ten sets of letters. do you have them all on a sign on your office door?
No. Gosh, embarrassing. Yes. it's a great honour and I'm very proud of them. But actually, it's such an opportunity and to say thank you to really all the wonderful people that work with us at Leaf, because... Yeah. You know, that's what has made me, I guess, or makes me.
Yeah, okay. And you're on a dairy farm down there in Liscard.
Yes, so my husband's a dairy farmer. We have about 130 milkers and supplying into Dairy Crest. So Cathedral City cheese.
Ah, okay.
The best cheese in the UK.
Yeah. I do like Cathedral City. Oh, that's great to know. A lot of the time you're up in Stoneleigh, the headquarters of Leaf is up there, or you're lobbying in Westminster or Brussels.
Yes. So my work takes me from home a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's where it all happens, which is, you know, out on farm or... in the corridors of DEFRA and things like that.
Yeah, okay. But you are, interestingly, not from a farming background at all, though.
No. So my father was a deep sea diver.
Yeah.
And as a child, I obviously, I was strongly affiliated to water. Did a lot of swimming, sailing, brought up opposite the Isle of Wight down in Hampshire.
Yeah.
And... I guess what really drove me into farming was, in fact, when I had mumps as a little girl and I was sent over to my grandparents to the Isle of Wight, where all of a sudden, overnight, a lot of the cattle disappeared. And I guess that was what really started me to be very interested in, you know, how important livestock were, how important farming was, and also how important nature is. And bit by bit, I guess, experiences as a child right through to having gone to Seal Hain as a student, I have developed and strengthened my passion and love for the farming industry.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned the now sadly gone Seal Hain there. You were the first female president of the student union there.
I was, yes. Oh, it was an amazing place. And I think it's now... Like wherever a student goes to read agriculture, it is such such an opportunity. And I think I was made at Seal Hain, really. I have to say it was such an opportunity for me, and I loved it. I loved the experiences of not only, you know, being a student, of course, but actually all the things. You know, I worked on a farm pre-college. I had a sandwich period where I was driving tractors I worked in Barbados doing sugarcane research. That was a hard gig.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, made lifetime friends as well, which is really what it's all about at the end of the day. It's people that make life.
Absolutely, yeah. And you haven't even mentioned, and I was so excited to learn this, that you were the lead singer in a band while you were there.
Yes, yeah. So that was great fun. And in fact, I was in another band when I left as well. So cool. Yeah, we had a college band, CD and the Sensations. My nickname's CD. We had a great band that kept a lot of the Wednesday and Friday nights going at Seal Lane for a bit.
Sure. Anyway. What was your signature song? What was your favourite song to sing?
Oh, I guess we sang all our own music.
Awesome.
Some of the guys that were the guitarists and other singers were very good at writing music, and so it was principally all our own music. But I still love a bit of the karaoke, I have to say.
Brilliant, brilliant. I bet there's some good fashions being worn on stage at the time too.
Yes, actually, that was a big thing at the time.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, so after you graduated, you travelled extensively, got a range of experiences on farms all over the world.
Yes, like every good agricultural student, I think. And I think that's the great thing about agriculture. It's a very transferable skill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you can milk a cow, drive a tractor, lamb, sheep, actually that's such an opportunity. And so a friend and I traveled through Asia, got enough money from Harvest to do that. And then once we were in Australia, milked cows, did rouseabouting on the back of motorbikes, right through to picking fruit and things like that. So it was a fantastic opportunity. I mean, but it was literally that was back in 1987. And so it was just when New Zealand, and also went to New Zealand as well as Australia, had the cold turkey of having support taken away. So it was a really big change within the whole of New Zealand's farming sort of situation at that time. So it was a really important and very influential time to be over in New Zealand, actually. So that was great.
Yes, a lot of comparisons being made for the UK at the moment, isn't there, in that regard?
Very much so, yes. Without a doubt.
Okay, so when did you first come across LEAF as an organisation?
So I was lecturing. So when I finished travelling, I worked for MDS, Management Development Services, which is a wonderful trainee experience. And I actually also from there had an opportunity to work as a lecturer at Shuttleworth College. And there was sort of 3 years in, I was a forklift truck driver instructor. I did a lot of crop lecturing. I was senior warden. And there was an advert for a job, which was the LEAF, to reposition agriculture in the minds of the general public. And it hadn't started. It was an idea brought up in Germany. And this was kind of the UK equivalent being developed. And I'm sure your listeners will know the wonderful David Richardson, who writes in the Farmers Weekly and Farms. And he was the first chairman, and they employed me as the first employee.
Wow.
And so that was kind of back in June 1991. And it was kind of like literally a table and a pencil, some concepts, ideas, and a lot of fantastic farmers and people in the industry who were behind setting it up, really. And I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time. Fantastic opportunity.
And since then, the organization's gone from strength to strength, hasn't it? Now represents thousands of farmers throughout the UK.
Yes, and I guess that's, you know, we have been fashioned because of the strength of the chairman that we have had, the wonderful staff and team, and that's growing with some brilliant young brains in our organisation. And, of course, the network of our members and demonstration farms who are inspiring can-do farmers. And that has really helped us drive what is the underpinning ethos of Leaf, which is kind of a world that is eating, farming and living more sustainably, but built around integrated farm management as a good framework for the best of modern technology alongside the best of traditional farming, and driving that, you know, can-do attitude of how we have a productive agriculture alongside obviously good environments.
In your time there, since the early 90s to now, have you seen a big change of attitude from farmers towards Leaf? I mean, I guess in those early days, people would have been a bit sort of, why do you need to do that? Whereas now, it almost everybody's talking about how we need to connect better with the public and self-farming, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, yes. So definitely. It was interesting. Gosh, I mean, if you go back to the 1991, and in fact, on the day that we were launching our first Leaf demonstration farm, it was John Gummer, the then Minister of Agriculture, and Robert Lawton as our first Leaf demonstration farm on, in fact, it was the 5th of November, 1991. And at that time, there were some really difficult stories and criticism about agriculture. And in fact, there was a cartoon going around about, you know, farmer Palmer, get off my land type approach, and farmers, you know, needlessly spraying pesticides all over the place. Not only have we seen the industry change quite dramatically, so much more around precision farming, many more targeted pesticides, biological pesticides coming through, but actually farmers, where back in the 90s, and many of them were, you know, there was a big divide between, you know, I'm a farmer about production, I'm not an environmentalist, where without a doubt, every farmer I meet, you know, they recognize their role as stewards of the countryside. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I think it's probably not one farmer that I've met recently that actually doesn't have a special place on their farm where they have, you know, good biodiversity, where they have good nature that matches and that balances well with their real skill in producing food. So I think we have seen a huge transformation, and that's been supported by the environmental support mechanisms such as entry-level scheme and high-level scheme, the stewardship, and of course the marketplace, which has helped drive that as well.
So definitely.
Yeah, we've seen some big, big changes.
Yeah, okay. So I suppose the flagship program at Leaf is Open Farm Sunday, though. So where you help and support farmers open up their farms to the public for a day in June every year. So how did that start and where did the idea come from for it initially?
So I think if you think back to sort of 2001, we had foot and mouth here in the UK. And I think that was a real tipping point for change for farming. It meant the countryside was closed. And for us as an organisation, that was quite hard because what we did was demonstration activities, farmer to farmer and also farmer to public. And as soon as kind of there was some sense of normal coming back, and you know, it was a huge change for the industry. If you remember, the election was delayed. Oh gosh, it was such a difference. And we developed a program called Speak Out to help and support farmers communicate what are quite complex messages around how we farm and the day-to-day decisions on farm. And one of the farmers, one of our demonstration farmers, a guy called Ian Piggott, had actually was just doing an Nuffield scholarship, and he was looking about public interaction and connection, and had gone out to Denmark where they had this thing called Open Farm Sunday. And so he brought back the idea and we developed it. Our first event was in 2006, and each year the support and the events has grown from strength to strength, but it is in effect a day where all the industry come together to celebrate farming. It's a kind of a show and tell and encourage the general public and particularly non-farmers to get closer to farming and see what we do. And it's been a fantastic opportunity. In fact, some we reckon probably about 1,800 farmers have been involved, you know, directly as hosting events. And actually, it must be now, golly, well over 12,000 people within the industry supporting Open Farm Sunday each year. through helping out at events, right through to promoting and doing. Now, alongside Open Farms Sunday, we also run Open Farms Schools Day throughout the whole of June. Mm-hmm. And again, that's, you know, that's really just driving and deepening those connections with people.
Yeah. Okay. So why is this so important now in 2019?
Well, dare I mention Brexit? So I think obviously you know, there is huge disruption in our politics.
Yeah.
There's huge disruption in our climate. There's huge disruption kind of out there in the marketplace. And without a doubt, whatever comes out of the challenges that are being set from the whole area of us leaving the EU or changing our relationship with the EU, it means that any funding that has previously gone to support farmers is certainly needing to be more strongly defined and obviously demonstrated in terms of value for money, because it's going to be a critical time. You know, if you look ahead of us now, when you look at some of the other demands on government funding and support, it is, of course, the growing challenge around health, or in particular ill health associated with obesity and non-communicable diseases. It's around the importance of education. And, of course, it's around security, safety, and resilience in our food and farming system. And it is going to, you know, farming is such an important industry. It holds the solution to so many things, whether it actually be about improved health and our diet, our gut health, our mental health and well-being, whether it's about climate change mitigation, or whether it's about the services that we provide beyond food health and food productivity in terms of water quality, soil quality, air quality, and of course, nature and biodiversity. So, you know, we are such a pivotal, important part of life as a farming industry. Yeah. And we have an increasingly urban society. 88% of the UK population, you know, that's some 67 million people in here in the UK, that are 88% of that population is urban. And so they are becoming more and more distant from the everyday kind of how we grow our food, how we make our food, the seasons and nature. And that's something that actually, of course, farmers experience every single day firsthand. Yeah. So we really need to make sure that we're kind of really showing that and demonstrating what we do.
Yeah. Okay. So we know that direct subsidies to farmers are being phased out. The government's been very clear about that. And there's going to be more of a public money for public goods approach. Could Open Farm Sunday feasibly be a part of that?
Oh, I think so, yes. In terms of how some farmers have historically supported how they do Open Farm Sunday, it's been through things like public access payments from the higher level scheme. But when you look at some of the public goods, or what's now been actually defined as more as public value, actually public access is a critical part of that. You know, the sort of free to roam, go anywhere in on farm is okay, but not really the best idea. You know, there are some really good public access routes, but at the end of the day, a farm is a working environment.
Yes.
And so managed access to the countryside is so, so important. And not everybody's wanting to go out on farm every single day. And actually having, you know, a much more tangible, direct way of doing that, you know, one day a year or thereabouts, is a really key aspect of connecting to people to the countryside. And there are, you know, there are other new ways of doing that through, you know, we work with Tom Martin on FaceTime a Farmer.
Yes.
In terms of trying to get virtual approaches to real day and farm living, but actually, you know, trying to bring nature more effectively connecting that with people and farming, connecting with people, it has to be around trying to manage that. Mm. And as a public good, it's really important. And Michael Gove has really emphasized that a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's there within the environment plan. It's there pretty well at every speech that he gives. Yes. In terms of actually reference to Open Farm Sunday as well. It's such such a recognition for the great work that farmers are doing and all the people that get involved in it as well.
Mm, absolutely. So getting to the day itself then, and farmers themselves, is this open to any farmer? Can anybody do it if they want to get involved?
Yes. Oh, yes, without a doubt. And also, it's any sort of event as well. And I think some farmers get put off by some of the large events where there may be 5 or 10,000 people, but there is a huge range. And each event has something different to offer. And provides an opportunity for farmers to kind of tailor-make their own event as well. So we often think, oh, gosh, my farm won't be interesting because all I do is arable crops.
Yeah.
Or, I'm worried about it because of health and safety. But actually, we forget the valuable day-to-day activities that are carried out on farm. Mm-hmm. You know how many farmers love congregating around a hole in the ground.
Well, yes.
everybody's the same. You get a load of children and say, right, here's a hole in the ground, see who can find the longest worm. Mm. Or, you know, you put a worm on a piece of glass and you can hear it move. So, you know, all the excitement that we often take for granted through everyday living, whether it be, you know, the size of a tractor, the grain, the smell, we have such a rich tapestry on our farms. And in fact, you'll hear about 3D cinemas, 4D cinemas. Well, farming is kind of the ultimate 5D cinema. Mm. It touches every sense, and the more senses that you touch, of course, the deeper you embed a memory, and therefore that creates better understanding, better love. If, you know, the more people that we get out onto farm before the age of 11, the more you have sown a seed that is about an appreciation and love for nature, for farming. You know, that was the seed that was sown in my little mind.
Yeah.
When I was a child. And, that huge excitement. We had some children from inner city, an inner city, very deprived area out on farm not so long ago, one of our members. And they picked up a feather and they could not believe the strength of the feather.
Mm.
And they just couldn't believe the space. And I think all of this, you know, the sounds, everything is so vibrant and so alive that actually we forget how many people really do love and appreciate that. So I think, going back to your original question, everybody can get involved and everybody's got a story to tell in the farming industry. And what we do as an organization is help and support farmers in making sure that they've got an event that, one, they feel happy about delivering, two, they can manage, and three, is obviously a great experience, fun, enjoyable, and educational for those people that are coming out onto farm for the day as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a huge amount of support and free resources available to help farmers share their story, isn't there?
Yes. So that's, we've developed some new resources as well this year. So we've got a new handbook, which is always very popular. We are developing a whole lot of our speak out communications, not only with some workshops that are going on, and we've got a roadshow, but actually also with online tried and tested type tricks and case studies and examples. And of course, we have our Open Farm Sunday champions who are happy to talk to farmers, whether they be first time farmers or indeed whether they have just wanted to try and change or develop their events. And of course, you know, the LEAF team are more than happy to speak that through as well. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to look at some of the you know, when you start sort of thinking about what are the concerns that farmers have, oh gosh, you know, it'll take too much time, maybe too much effort, too much money, health and safety. But actually, you know, we've got a lot of tools in the box that really can help support farmers manage those concerns, but also actually provide really good solutions and meaningful solutions. We last year launched ticketing, online ticketing service as well, and that has gone down, you know, a storm, because whether you're, you know, just wanting an event with 20 people, an organized walk at a particular time for maybe a few locals, where you actually think, right, you know, let's build a few sort of relationships, better relationships on a local level, or I want to try and introduce something new on the farm and I want to make sure that I've got local support for that. So whether it's trying to get a small group like that right through to, you know, 3,000 or more, trying to manage the car park flow or something like that.
Yes.
Actually, the ticketing service is working a treat.
Yeah, so because really, I suppose if you're if you plan to, that's going to be a huge advantage, because if you plan to have 500 people turn up and then 2,500 people turn up, that's going to be a problem. So I guess that's a big help. Yeah.
Yes. And I think also the website, you know, we encourage farmers, obviously they do register on the website, and then we can actually match it with the expectation of the visitor, right, with of course the expectation of the farmer as well. You know, what's great is that we have, you know, a lot of support, a huge press campaign, which always drives, you know, a huge amount of interest, whether it's, you know, Martin Lewis from Money Saving Expert or Chris Evans, obviously not on BBC Two anymore, but all of those, Radio Two, you know, they drive public interest. I think we had something like a reach of 17 million people on social media on the build up for Open Farm Sunday via Twitter and Facebook. So, you know, there's a big amount of noise out there around Open Farm Sunday. And, you know, whether it's rain or shine, once you've said to a child, we're going to go out on farm, that you've lit the fire and lit the expectation and desire. And so it's such an opportunity to then say, right, you know, we are going on farm, but we're going to have to dress up because it's raining, or we're going to have to take water and sunshine, you know, sun cream.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it drives people without a doubt to really want what is a wonderful and memorable day for so many people.
Absolutely.
And we hear it, and we love, you know, we love all the team phones around all the farmers that have taken part on the Monday. And, oh, gosh, you know, it's just fabulous to hear from the farmers about, yes, it was really tiring, but oh gosh, you know, it was the tears of joy, or the tears of that little child who said, I don't want to go home, I want to stay here, or the gosh, you know, you've made farming come alive, or I appreciate what farmers are doing. And those stories are a real thank you to farmers, because so often it can be quite an isolating job.
Yeah.
And actually, very rarely does somebody say thank you for being a wonderful farmer and doing such a great job. And actually, sometimes it's really important to get that reminder, because farmers do a fabulous job.
I think it's also, I guess, you're looking for farmers all over the country. It's not just people who farm around towns and cities, because, I mean, I farm in quite a rural area here, but my children go to the village school, and most of them are from non-farming families. You know, we live in a very fluid society now, don't we? People come and go, and they commute long distances. And when we've got to know some of the other parents and some of the other children, and they really enjoy coming to our farm, just if they're just visiting, because it really sort of backs up what you're saying. It blows them away sometimes. Everyday things to me that I walk past without even looking twice, you know, and their kids are loving it, and it's a brilliant thing to do.
Oh, yeah. So we're very privileged in the farming industry. And I think, you know, having the opportunity to share that is a wonderful thing to do. And you, as you say, the rural population is increasingly divorced, really, from everyday farm life. and it's so important to touch everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think this is, as an industry, do you think we have a responsibility to do this? Do you think this is something we've got to do? We've all got to stand up and take ownership of this.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think, I'm in London quite a lot, and I often get to read things like the Evening Standard, and you read some of the stories now. You know, there is a growing interest in food.
Mm.
Something like 69% of millennials will take a photograph before they eat their meal, post it up on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, and with that growing interest in food, it is critical that actually we do that little reminder because a meal, you may eat a meal in 20 minutes, you may have a longer meal in over 2 hours, but actually the majority of that meal has taken years, months to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And the story behind that meal is so rich in terms of what it delivers from the local community, in terms of soil health, biodiversity, the actual production mechanisms. All of that is such an important part. And I think what sometimes really worries me is when you start looking at the fact that people are kind of, well, something like 50.6% of the food eaten in the UK is ultra processed.
Yeah.
We are starting to move away from eating food that looks like food. And when it's 14%, in France, where obviously the food culture is still much closer and much more developed, well, you know, less, I suppose, changed.
Yes.
Actually, it's a stark reminder that food, its authenticity, its provenance, how it's been produced is so important. And we need to be making sure that farming is recognized as being a key part of the contributor to a healthy diet and ultimately a healthier nation. I think, you know, we kind of forget at our peril that farming is not about commodity production. It is about food production. And actually, we should be embedding nutrition as a value of how we produce our food much more effectively.
Yeah.
And that's going to be important in how we change and develop farming systems, but equally important in terms of reminding the non-farming audience about how food is produced and actually the care that is taken in its production. It's so, so critical.
Absolutely. I saw a stat this week that said nearly 90% of visitors in 2018 said Leaf Open Farm Sunday had changed the way they think about farming. And that's up 12% on 2017. That's quite remarkable, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, and we were really pleased about that.
Yeah.
So that was revisiting visitors 4 months after they'd gone out on Open Farm Sunday. And I guess that goes back to the power of those farmers who are doing such a fantastic job at connecting people and connecting the story of farming with people's everyday lives. Because, you know, often we can actually almost forget about the fact that, you know, this is farming story, but actually, where does it fit into your life as an individual? And we're really, really proud of those statistics because it clearly demonstrates the impact and what a wonderful job the farmers are doing in delivering Open Farm Sunday.
Yeah. And then I guess it's in this day and age with sort of social media and mobile communications, we're all kind of used to or we're not as used to face-to-face contact as we maybe were just a few years ago. So actually getting the chance to talk face-to-face on farm, that experience of being there, meeting the farmer, seeing the crops, touching things, smelling things, hearing the noises on a farm creates such a memorable experience, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely key. And I think, you know, many of the farmers will report back and show the photographs that children have taken. We run a little competition to do that. Shown the paintings. Some farmers do a North American, in fact, it was kind of like a route map, really. But it's called a map stick, where you might have a stick and a bit of baler twine. And children will map the journey of the farm walk that they have on there, you know, a leaf, a bit of grain, right through to some soil and things like that. Mm. And actually, you know, that's a very visual, but very natural memory that you've got as well. So these sort of memory sticks are just wonderful. But yes, it's the picture that it's painted in your head, really, that is just such a wonderful experience.
Yes, and also just something that's just occurred to me now. We're quite a highly populated small island, and we all on our farms now. We all live with neighbours who maybe don't, as I mentioned earlier, they're commuters who don't necessarily know much about the farm. They're back into everyone's got busy lives. I suppose it's building a community as well, isn't it? It's just getting the chance to tell people, look, this is why we do this. This is why we're slowing you down on the road when you're trying to get to work, because we're trying to harvest, or this is why we're spreading slurry on these fields at this time of year. It's just getting to explain it so that people understand and building relationships, isn't it?
Oh, and that's key. And I think a lot of farmers have found the just rewards from that as well, because it means that you've got sort of local eyes and ears who think, oh, that's not quite right on the farm. And they're happier to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or there's a van that's just pulled in your yard that looks a bit suspicious. Right through to actually some farmers have said, oh, gosh, you know, there's a local ornithologist in the village. And now they come and help us identify some of the birds and map the birds or the pollinators on our farm. And actually, again, you know, building up the rich tapestry of information, you know, as we collect more information around our soils and our crops and things like that, actually collecting that information around our biodiversity is equally important. And so, you know, there are new skills that farmers are able to kind of bring into the farm business as well. So that's really, as you say, really key, really, really important.
Yeah. Now, what about, so if I said to you, well, I'm thinking about doing this and I'm sort of interested and I'm got some ideas and I'm thinking about doing it, but as it happens, my neighbour who's 2 miles up the road does the event. Would I be better off doing having an Open Farm Sunday event on my farm, or would I be better off supporting him?
So I guess it depends on the size of the event.
Okay.
So I think if it's your first year and they're doing a fairly sort of medium to large size event, and they've already sort of got everything in sort of planning for this year, then actually what I would say is, well, I would offer help, whether it be bringing some of your livestock or some ideas, or doing some of the trailer rides or walks and things like that, and then suggesting maybe next year we have you know, have it on our farm, we'll host it, and will you help out?
Yes.
Or if you think, yeah, you know, I'm ready to go for this. If what's interesting is hearing from quite a lot of the visitors is actually they like to visit several events.
Yes.
And actually that's often an opportunity for them and to go and sort of go for to neighbouring farms where they can make a real day of it just on, you know, your two farms. So that's a fantastic opportunity.
Okay. So people,
so I guess it depends on the circumstance more than anything.
Yeah. Okay. So to anyone listening who is thinking about taking part this time for the first year, how do they go about it?
So to start off with, register on the Open Farm Sunday, leaffarmsunday.org website. We then can provide support in terms of what sort of size they're planning to do. Phone up the Leaf office, phone up the Leaf Open Farm Sunday champions, and talk it through with them. And then you can download all the information, whether it be the new information pack, looking at some of the videos and the website in terms of ideas and activities, and really try and tailor your event and what you're really hoping to get out of the event as well. Don't make it too complicated. Don't suddenly sort of go from 0 to 100 in sort of 2 seconds, because it can be hard work doing that. And also, you know, I think as you really alluded to, Will, you know, people just love the experiences of going out on farm. there is an expectation to see activities and to see things. But if you plan that well, actually, it just doesn't have to be too complicated. And there are so many people helping out as well, which is really key. So, you know, Open Farm Sunday happens because of the farmers, but also because of the sponsors. And our sponsors have got some fantastic resources. And that in itself, you know, whether it be the retailers, the support industry, the NFU, AHGB, you know, DEFRA, there's some wonderful resources out there. And so that's, again, something that's really, really important in helping support making your event very special, but actually something that works for you, as well as obviously working for the visitors that are coming out.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess we should mention it is actually the 9th of June this year as well, the date.
It is the 9th of June. Yes. Yeah. Get it in your diary.
Does it have to be that date, or if people, can they just work around that date? Or?
Yeah, certainly. And we have on the website one or two events that maybe the weekend before, the weekend after. And as I mentioned, we have a lot of events running through June for Open Farm Schools Day as well. The reason why we put a real focus on one day is it helps drive promotion and publicity. Yeah. And I think also it's sometimes really heartening to be part of something big. And, you know, everybody in the Leaf team goes out and visits farms. You know, last year I visited 4 farms, and it's just so special for everybody who takes part, but all the visitors. And it's actually part of that is knowing, oh, you know, my friends are doing this, there are other farmers doing this, and we are all part of a great movement to really connect everybody with farming and to create some love, appreciation, thanks, understanding about how our food is produced. And then beyond that, really inspire people to think, actually, agriculture might be an interesting career for me. When you start looking at, you know, the skill base, the technology, the range of skills required, wow, actually, I'd never thought about farming, but it would be a fantastic thing to get into. And so, you know, it is hugely, hugely powerful that it is one day that drives so many across the industry to take part.
Definitely. And just expanding on some of the support available to farmers who are getting involved, there's lots of free resources to use on the day, isn't it? Risk assessment templates, activity sheets, ideas, big roadside banners. There's all kinds of things available, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely wonderful set of resources. And again, you know, we're driving a lot more now in terms of knowing what not only works for the farmers, but actually also works for the visitors. So it isn't large amounts of handouts, but it's much more around the sort of the memory and the day, the activities on the day, the experiences and things like that. So, all the resources are, yes, whether it be videos, whether it be the mini posters and things like that. Yes, that all of that helps support really making the event absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And I think we did mention it briefly earlier, but in terms of PR, it's a huge positive story for UK agriculture in the mainstream media as well. This isn't just an agriculture media. It kind of goes across everything, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, the Archers have been regularly running Open Farm Sunday. That fine line between reality and fiction.
Yeah.
We get a huge amount of support from BBC, ITV, local, regional news channels. And of course, in the run-up as well to Open Farm Sunday, to encourage people to go out. So yes, there are wonderful stories, both kind of before the event, on the event, and after the event. A lot of women's magazines, again, you know, pushing and promoting that too, which is providing an opportunity for people to think, oh, what shall I do with my children? And yes, Open Farm Sunday is a great day to do.
Yeah. Okay, so to summarise then, what's What's your few key points to farmers who might be considering getting involved, and how can they find out more?
Get involved. You've got a fantastic story to tell, and it's really, really important that you share that story, but also remember that there's a lot of people that are so interested in what you're doing and how you're doing it. Get involved by visiting Open Farm Sunday, well, sorry, farmsunday.org, mm-hmm. The website, get in touch with the Leaf office. And if you don't want to take the plunge this year, and, you know, I do recommend that you do, you know, start small, have an event, ask a few people around at a particular time, have a farm walk, and then you can really start actually building your confidence and get not only the whole family involved, but the whole team, whether it be your farm staff, whether it be your contractors, because it is such a rich experience for everybody to really demonstrate what we're doing as a fantastic farming industry, and of course sharing that story.
Yeah, and also I think there's a hashtag in the hashtag farm shout out on the Leaf Open Farm Sunday Twitter, which is at Leaf_farming. I think that's an easy way for people to share the stories, isn't there? And just because, I mean, I know last year I saw some fantastic pictures of children sort of on piles of grain or feeding, you know, with lambs and calves, and it can't help but make you smile, can it, when you see those things?
No, oh no, and the sheer joy on the children's faces, mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, Caroline, well, I'm going to start to wrap this up now. So if you're ready, I'm going to hit you with 5 hard-hitting questions to finish off.
Right, okay.
We know you were the lead singer of a band in university. So what's your all-time favourite song?
Oh, gosh, my whole life is mapped by wonderful songs and music. But I guess it would be... probably Pearl's the Singer, Elkie Brooks, because I just love singing that. If I think of all the wonderful songs, whether it be Joan Armour Trading or The Stones or Kirsty MacColl or Eurythmics, that would be my one song, yeah.
That's a belter. I'd like to see you sing that at karaoke. Great song. Okay, you have a very high-profile role. I'm sure that occasionally it is stressful. What do you do to unwind?
I love cooking. I love kitchen science. But actually, I've just started taking up running and getting fit. But on my iPhone, my tech isn't quite right. So I've got my daughter's playlist. So that's really cool and really motivating for running. So I guess that's actually quite a good way to unwind at the moment. You've got this wonderful array of very modern songs, which are actually quite fun.
yeah. Okay, if you could go back in time and give your 16-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, I know people don't always believe this, but I'm really shy, and at 16 I was very shy.
Yeah.
And I guess it's believe you can make a difference. Yeah. And believe in your own values, because I think that's, you know, what's driven my passion, my love of farming, my interest in, obviously, you know, my work at Leaf, is because the values that Leaf stands for, mm-hmm. and all the farmers and people that have framed it are so key. And you have to believe.
Okay. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, that's a really, really tricky one. I guess my ultimate superpower would have to be connecting what we farm, what we eat, and health. And I guess, you know, on a micro scale, it would be bringing the heads together of DEFRA, the Department of Health Department for Education. But that would be quite an easy match. But then actually across communities, making sure that we actually have, you know, healthy food and farming fit for the future that is all framed around making sure that what we produce aligns with our health, our diet, and, you know, our food. and that would have to be key.
Super farmer. Okay, if you had to recommend a farmer or someone involved in the agriculture industry to follow on social media, who would it be?
Oh, well, of course, it would be at @leaf_farming. because I think, you know, the stories that we share mm-hmm. are obviously the wonderful farmers that are our demonstration farmers, our innovation centres. If it was an individual farmer, I think it would probably be at number one, Farmer Jake.
Yes.
Or at Elverdon Farmer. So yeah. Jake Freestone and Andrew Francis. They have some wonderful stories and they communicate them in some great ways.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more. Okay. Well, Caroline, thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us today, telling us more about Open Farm Sunday. You've given me plenty to think about and I'm sure a lot of other listeners too.
Oh, thank you very much, Will. I hope you'll take part in Open Farm Sunday this year as well.
I'm thinking about it. I'm going to talk to my wife. And to everyone at home, thanks for listening and see you next time. If you're feeling generous, please share or retweet this episode through social media. And if you feel like leaving the podcast a review on iTunes, that's always a huge help. I'm running the London Marathon for my sins this April for Farm Africa, which is an amazing charity helping farms in East Africa. Have a look at their website for some incredible stories about what they're doing. I'm super proud to be associated with them. If you could spare a few pounds, hugely appreciated. justgiving.com/fundraising/William-Evans12. I'll put that in the show notes. Thank you in advance. I've been Will Evans. This has been Rock and Roll Farming. Thank you and good night.